Anyway, God's been good. I might need some help, some prayers, and also some help sometime during the week. I'm busy the next few days, but I put new thermostats in, and I just can't get this one to work. That back one, if you were in that back Sunday school class, you know it worked. I set it up the way Pastor told me to do, and it worked. This one here, I've tried everything to get it running. I just can't do it. You can see it's cooler in here. I can't get that thing to run. It's brand new. The church just paid for it. I really want to get that. It's bothering me that I can't get that. I was here till 9 o'clock last night trying to figure this thing out. I just can't get it to work. And so, I want it to be comfortable in here for us. That way nobody has to come in and, turn things up or down. We just set the times, and then, we don't have to worry about it. And I'm sure it's going to save us and get some fuel oil. But if somebody has an idea, maybe you can help me figure that out. It sure be, the church would be grateful. The Lord would be grateful. And man, so would I. Release some stress for me. Thank you. I appreciate that, Zane.
No. Upside down.
Yeah, this. What, on the floor?
Yeah.
Oh, okay, so, huh?
When?
Today?
No.
Oh, no, yeah. No, I went out and bought these yesterday. The other ones, yes, they were in the drawer. Matter of fact, those there are 5 and 2s. We can't use that here because on Wednesday and Thursday, that's the only time we need the heat on during the week. Well, with the 5 and 2s, what it does is it sets Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday. Somebody would have to come over here and shut it down Monday, Tuesday, Friday. So that, then on weekends, you only want to run Sunday. Well, it only sets Saturday and Sunday the same. You couldn't separate the 2 days. So I went out and I got the 7-day ones where you can set each individual day. So those other ones, they're up if anybody wants it for their house. We're probably going to, at least we can get half price for them. They're brand new. It's just they can't work for this church. But, we're more than willing to offer them to somebody who might need them for their house. So anyway, that's out there anyway. Nope, no problem. So anyway, we got them up. I'd like to get it running. Cold weather's coming. I know it's in the 60s and stuff, this week. But it's going to start changing pretty quick. And I'll feel more comfortable being able to have this heat working for us here. So if you can keep that in prayer or have ideas, let's, get it together. Pastor's not here. He's down south. Everybody, has heard the news. We've been praying for him. I talked to him yesterday. He said, "Lord, Dale, the Lord has a plan." He goes, "I traveled that whole way and just I couldn't see my son." He goes, "But the Lord has something we just don't know." And may we all have that kind of faith. When things go wrong, to say, "Well, the Lord has a plan." The Lord has a plan. No. The Lord has a plan. When things are crumbling around you, when things are just going so mad for you and everything else, remember, the Lord has a plan. We may not see it right this minute. We may not see it in the next month or so, whatever. But let me tell you, He has a plan. He knows what's best. And so anyway, 2 weeks ago when I preached here, I did Psalm 37, 1-8, victory in the Christian life. I only got through the first half. I'm going to finish it this week. The Lord put on my heart that I should finish it. So if you would turn with me to Psalm 37. And Psalm 37. And I believe it's important that we finish this. There's some good stuff in here. People just get in the Bible and read it, man. I'm just telling you, man. There's things in here that can help you on a daily basis. I would have no clue how to live my life and how to have victories in my life if it weren't for the Word of God. I mean, He gave it to us for that purpose because He understood that when we got saved that we just can't run our life. It's just not going to work that way. And therefore, He gave us instructions. That's why I call it Bible, basic instructions before leaving earth. He gave us an instruction manual to run our life. And I believe if we got into it, our lives would be a whole lot better. But here's the difference. You can know verses all day long. Knowing the verses doesn't mean nothing. It's when you believe them and put them into your life. That's when you'll start seeing things happen. That's when you'll start seeing a turnaround in your life. And over the past 6 months, believe me, you, I have faced some very difficult things, some things that I had to see about myself and such, but I had to take the Word of God, put that into my heart, put it into my life and start living that the way the Lord would have me to do it. And that's when I started having some victories. And when you get victories, don't worry, the next one's coming. You think, oh, I got victory in this. Don't worry, the next thing's coming. It's coming. Prepare yourself for it. It's going to come as long as you live. Psalm 37, it's going to be verses 1 through 8. We already covered the fret not thyself because of evildoers. Don't let what's going on out there with these unsafe people, don't let it bother you. It seems like they have everything now, but this is their reward. Yours is in heaven. The Lord tells us, you know, keep your minds fixed on the things here on earth, but have them fixed on the things in heaven. You know, we get all wrapped up into wanting things and, you know, so on and so forth. And really, when we can't get them because the Lord has different things going on in our life, it really annoys us, and then we really get all wrapped up in this whole, well, I can't be this. How can they have this and I can't have it, and so on and so forth? Because God has you right where He wants you. That's why you cannot have it. God knows where you need to be. I know there's things in my family's life that's going on right now. I sure would love to be in a different place than we are. But I also understand this. I sit down with my family every day and explain, this is where God has us. This is where we need to be right now. And we're just going to trust Him to get us through it. Because it's obvious to a duck that we can't do it ourselves. We cannot do it ourselves. We need to follow the leading of God and see what He does in our lives. So anyway, so fret not. Then the next one was trust in the Lord. Delight yourself in the Lord. Commit your way unto the Lord. And now we're going to look at trust also in the Lord. Here in verse 5 says, commit thy way unto the Lord. Trust also in Him, and He shall bring it to pass. He will bring a commitment in the works and your thoughts to pass when you do what? When you trust Him. This is where everybody misses it. When I first stepped foot in this church 8 years ago, I had a horrible trust issue. I just could not trust. And then I had a man come up here and preach a book to me, and he told me, Dale, you're going to have to start trusting God. You're going to have to start trusting His Word. Now, telling that to a person that had trust issues was kind of mind-blowing. But I remember as an unsaved person, when the Lord would even show me things in His Word, that I would start trusting. And when I started trusting those things, I started getting little victories as an unsaved person. Now, as a saved person, He's telling me now, now that I'm His child, my two children sit there on a daily basis. And you know what? They trust that mommy and daddy are going to feed them. They trust that we're going to clothe them. They trust that we're going to put oil in the tank to get the heat in our house. They trust that we're going to love them. They trust, you see, and that's how we have to have that trust with the Lord. We have to trust Him on that same way. That's why Jesus says that childlike faith. We have to come to Him like that faith that Josh has in you, Tanya, and Caleb has in you, that you're going to do that for them. That's how we got to come to the Lord, with that childlike faith. And what's the way we're going to get that? Trusting in Him. Trusting His Word. Staying in church. This is where we're going to get fed. This is where we're going to get the things that we need. This is our help center. This is why the Lord has the churches here for us. Why? Because then you have people here who can pray for you, who can love you. The Lord wants you here. He wants you to hear what's being said. Thank God. Our pastor, what a wonderful man. Thank God he believes in the King James Bible and teaches the way he does. But when he's not here, thank God that we have someone else who can come in and give us the same thing, who preaches the King James Bible, loves it and lives it and believes it. He was a preacher for 47 years. And I'm just telling you, what a blessing to have that. There's not many churches out there. The church doors are closing by the dozen. Can't even keep them open anymore because somebody doesn't want to get in here and want to preach a Bible and want to see people's lives change. They want to compromise and do programs and so on and so forth, and it destroys the church. We don't have much for programs. And the Lord keeps bringing people here. Because you know what it takes? The preaching, the foolishness of preaching. And then for people to say in their heart, I'm going to start trusting in this thing. I'm going to start trusting it, and I'm going to start living in it. So it says that you commit your way unto Him, and He will direct it. Commit your works unto him, and he will establish them. And your thoughts unto him, and he will direct them. You understand? He's asking you to commit your thoughts unto him. Well, Lord, I have this thought. What do you think? Why can't you say that? Why is it so hard to say, you know, I really have this thought, Lord. What do you think on it? If you think, well, you know, I can't get a clear direction from the Lord through prayer, why don't you get in the Bible and see what it might say on there? Because I can guarantee you'll find the answer. And then if not, guess what? Then you're going to wait. Don't make that decision. You just wait. Wait and see what the Lord... Give it yourself a few days. Don't just jump right into it. That was one of my biggest problems, is that I would sit there and say, okay, Lord, this is what I want to do. Go ahead, Andy, we're just going to do it. And I never even waited for a response from the Lord. I never went and searched it out or maybe talked to a pastor or somebody who's been saved for a long time, never sought that out. And I made big mistakes doing that. Paid huge prices doing that. But if we would just wait... You guys all know this next verse, Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, says, trust in the Lord with a little bit of your heart. Trust in the Lord when things are going good. Trust in the Lord when you feel like you need to trust in the Lord. Trust in the Lord when everything is going well in your family, job's going good, and everything's... That's not what it says. It says, trust in the Lord with all your heart, with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. How many times you catch yourself leaning on your own understanding? And what? Let me ask you this. When you lean on your own understanding, tell me, where does it land you? You find yourself in a place that you don't want to be. Why? Because you didn't trust in the Lord. Do you think it's a coincidence that he says, trust in the Lord with all your heart, and then the very next thing he says, but don't rely on your own understanding? You know God put that in there for a reason like that? Because he knew instantly that we would not trust him and we would start leaning on our own understanding. He knew that. And that's why he said, no, trust in me with all thine heart and lean not on your own understanding. Why? Because God knows us. He knows us better than we know us. He knows what's best for us. If we would just open our eyes to see that he understands, he knows. My kids try to convince me they know better than I do for them. Do we not do the same to God? That's how we get with him. That's not what he's asking us to do. That childlike faith, that trusting in him, that's what he's saying. Commit it to me. Give it to him and let him do it. And I guarantee you the outcome will be a whole lot better than if you get yourself involved in it. I guarantee you. How do I know that? Because time and time again, when I just sit back and I let God take care of it and I start trusting in him, we end up in a better place than we have before we started. But if I stick my hard-headed, knuckle-headed self in the way, it's trouble every single time. Trouble. So he says, trust in him. When we trust in him, he shall bring these things to pass. But also our troubles and struggles and temptations and our depressions, we need to just go ahead and trust him with those things and give it over to him. Mark 11:23 says, verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, and thou shalt be cast into the sea, and thou shalt not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that these things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. Do you understand that's what he just said? If you believe, call upon the name of the Lord, they shall be saved. Read the next verse. How can they call him who they don't believe? So many people can call out all day long, but they don't have a belief in their heart towards God. And they find themselves in a lost, they're lost. Just as lost as they were the day before, because they don't believe. When are you going to come to the point in your life where you believe? God continually puts things in people's life. Why? So that you can finally open your eyes and say, I need to believe. We just went through it, me and my wife, probably about a month and a half ago. We're still going through it. But you know what it came to the point is? We finally came to the realization, Lord, we're just going to believe that you're going to take care of us. And I don't think he's let us down, do you? Just going to believe that he's going to take care of us. I'm just going to believe you're going to help me with this depression. I just believe that you're going to help me with this problem. I believe that you're going to help me here or there. I believe that you're going to help me down. You know, a lot of people, they don't want to get into reading the Bible. Why? Because they don't think they can understand it. Believe God can help you with that. Because that's what he wants to do. God's not trying to cast you away. He's trying to open your eyes so that you can believe, so that you can see, that you can... Listen, we have eternal life in heaven. Thank the Lord for it. I'll be in heaven. Thank you, Jesus Christ. October 10th of this year, make 4 years that I've been saved. I'm a child born again, and I thank God for it. But let me tell you something. I can also have joy and happiness and peace while I'm here on earth with my family and in my life and in my church. He doesn't say, oh, you know, just live here a boring life and wait for me to come back. No, he wants us, what's it say? So that they can have joy and that it may be full. Full. Could you imagine having full joy? Could you imagine going through times of turmoil and still having peace in your household? I know that because we live it. The Bible told us that we would have that stuff. And I can speak for myself that we get that stuff. Because the Lord spoke it. And I thank God that He gives us, hard times where most people would divorce or not want to be with each other. I mean, I've seen great men get tangled up with health problems and their family turns their backs on them and all that kind of stuff. But I'm just telling you now, the Lord is, because me and my wife, we started believing that God can take care of us and He can take care of our families and so on and so forth. Guess what? Even in those hard times, we have peace. We have joy. We have smiles on our face. Let me ask you something. Do my kids look like they're walking around depressed and unhappy? They don't. Why? Because even in the midst of turmoil, we have peace in our hearts. That's what you get. That your joy may be full. That's what it says.
Are you ready to start trusting? He says that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, and thou cast in the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart. There's the big problem. Oh, yes, Lord, I believe, I trust that you're going to take care of us. But wait, you know what? I can't wait another 10 minutes. I'm going to go ahead and we're going to do this thing now. There's your doubt. There's why things ain't turning out right. Double-minded man is well unstable in all his ways. You ever wonder why your life is a mess? Oh, I believe you. No, I don't. I believe you. No, I don't. I believe you. No, I don't. You're unstable. Your whole environment around you is so unstable. Why? Because you're double-minded. Either you're going to believe he's going to, or you're going to believe he's not going to. You're not going to do both. You're not going to be double-minded. Why? It makes you so unstable. You can't walk a daily life being unstable. One way or the other. Either you believe fully he can, or you believe fully he can't. That's the doubt. That's the doubt. Too many people are living in doubt. Verse 7 says, rest in the Lord. How many of you guys would like some rest today? How about some rest from your trials and your tribulations? How about some rest from the things that are going on in life? How about some rest from the struggles? How about some rest from the depressions and the heartaches and so on? How about some of that rest? He says, rest in the Lord. The definition of rest is to be quiet or tranquil of the mind. Not as an agitated by fear or anxiety or other passions. This is what Jesus is telling us in Matthew 11:28 when he says, come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. For I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. He didn't say he was going to take it from you. He said, get in this thing with me. You know why? Because you're too busy, too caught up on doing things on your own. You're too busy and too caught up trying to live a life on your own. And you know what? That burden's getting a little too heavy. That yoke is a little, it's weighing you down a little too much. You can't handle it. That's why he says, climb in with him. Get in there with him. And why? It's going to bring rest to your soul. It's going to bring some peace in your life. It's going to bring some peace in your family. For once, you don't have to hold it. You don't have to hold that thing on your shoulders all the time by yourself. He can get in there with it. He wants to take it. He wants to be the one that's in control. But yet, we're too busy being in control. I'm glad when I lose control of myself and my family and he takes over. I'm glad of that. I can sit back, Brother Hain. I can sit back and I can see a difference when I let him in control or when I'm in control.
I can see a difference in my entire family. I can see a difference in my entire surroundings by the people that I talk to and so on and so forth. My attitude, I see a whole difference.
Listen, it's you know me, when I have time, it's hunting season, it open. I'm sitting in the tree stand, I'm praying the other morning. Now all my obligation, I have no obligations whatsoever when I go hunting. I have everything that I need to be taken care of. I won't go out in a tree stand. I won't go hunting if something else comes up. I make sure that my priorities are definitely in order. Hunting is the last thing, but I enjoy hunting, okay? I enjoy sitting in a tree stand. But I was sitting there, you know what I did? You know, I read the Bible a lot when I'm in my tree stand. I do. I love to read the Word. It's quiet. There's nobody around. I mean, it's peaceful. I mean, you ever just go sit in nature? You don't have to be a hunter. Just go sit in nature. You know who made that? My Heavenly Father. My Heavenly Father made nature. And I'm going to tell you, there's nothing like going out there and sitting on the state land or finding a good piece of property and you're out there by yourself and there's just nothing but you and God. And then opening the Bible and reading. The other day, I'm out in my tree stand. And I'm sorry, I'm a sinner that way. That's just me. I'm going to hunt. I'm going to go out there and I'm going to roast what I hunt. And me and my family are going to eat it and we're going to enjoy it. But you know what the best part about the whole thing is? The Lord really spoke to me the other day in that tree stand. Showed me some things about myself reading my Bible. And I just sat there with tears rolling down my face. And I just said, Lord, I'm so sorry for doing the things that I've been done. Will you teach me different? Would you teach me different? Will you show me how to do it? Because I don't know how to do it. If you don't know how to do something, let him know you don't know how to do it. He already knows it, but just tell him. And every time I tell him I don't know how to do something, guess what? I start getting victories because he understands that I finally understand that I can't do it on my own, that I need you to do it for me. Too many people, oh, I can do it on my own. And they get nowhere. I'm sorry to tell each and every one of you in this church tonight, I can't do it on my own. And I'm not too proud. I'm not too prideful to tell people that I can't do it on my own. I need Jesus Christ to run my life. Wouldn't you say I would need Jesus Christ to run my life? How'd you like my life before I got saved, Mother? How'd you like it? Wouldn't you say Jesus Christ did some things for me? I can't run my life. It's obvious to a duck. I have no clue how to run my life on my own. And it took the miracle of Jesus Christ to come inside of me and for me to him to show me that I can believe him and show me that I can start trusting him and show me that I can have his word and he can guide and direct my life. You know what, Brother Hain? That slime started disappearing that was behind me. Not all of it. There's still some slime there. You guys have been long enough in this church. You've seen me fall. But I don't stay there. I try to clean that slime up. And I try to change it and make things differently. Because I know that God showed me something through whatever circumstance it was. And I try to change that thing. There's some hard things, man, that I have to be shown about myself. Hard things. But I thank God he takes the time to show me things. So that I can get it right. Because if he doesn't allow me to go through things, let me ask you this. God appoints somebody 20 years military experience. God brings and says, don't worry, this person is going to protect your family. By any means, this man, he's going to protect your family. He's been through all these special trainings. I mean, everything. I mean, you don't have to worry about nothing. This guy's been through everything possible that a human could go through. Don't worry about this man's going to take care of it. Dale, don't worry. This kid's only been trained for 6 months. He's going to try to watch out for your family. Tell me, which one would you rather have? How can you call yourself a soldier and God puts you through no training whatsoever? I want somebody who's been through some things. I want somebody who knows what it's like to trust God. And I'm not talking monetary. Because I know there's people in this room. What about the health issues? What about the pains? What about the depressions? What about all that stuff?
Are you trusting him in any of it? Are you resting in him? That's where you're going to find the rest. That's where you're going to find the rest for your souls. I can vouch right now that not a surgeon, not a psychiatrist, not a prison, not a jail, not a correction officer has ever done a licking bit of good for me in my life. Nothing. Nothing and nothing.
It took Jesus Christ to step into my life to give me rest. I was able to witness to somebody yesterday, and I witnessed differently than everybody else. That's just me. And I told him that about the black hole, my black hole story. And he just kind of looked at him, and I said, you know what? I said, I no longer have that black hole. A pill couldn't fill it. Alcohol couldn't fill it. A woman couldn't fill it. Fighting couldn't fill it. I was a pretty good fighter, I'd say. Pretty violent. Pretty nasty guy. Very mean. That, you know, it never filled anything.
Walking away from children? Leaving them in the dust? Let me just tell you this. A person won't stop what they're doing because they have a child.
A person won't stop what they're doing because they're married. Let me just tell you that right now. A person won't stop doing because mommy and daddy loves them. How do I know that? Because I had all of them. And it sure didn't stop me. I knew my mother loved me. I knew my children loved me. But did it pull me away from the things that I'd done? No, because you don't think about them. They're the least thing you ever think about. So I hear all these people say, oh, I love my children. Then why are you sitting behind bars? How's your life? How's your life doing being all a mess and you love your children? Could have fooled me. How do I know that? Guilty. G-U-I-L-T-Y. I think I spelled it right. Guilty. Guilty. But I finally got that void filled. It was by nothing of this world, Brother Hain. It was by Jesus Christ and him alone. Filling that void. He's the one who filled that void. He's the one that took over and came in. He's the one who's teaching me how to be a dad and a husband. Not myself. I can't do it. Verse 7 says, rest in the Lord. You want rest? Go to him. How sweet is it in times when we do rest in the Lord? The yoke is still there and the burden and the work is still there, but the trusting in him brings rest for the in the midst of troubles. In 1 Peter 5, 7, it says, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Notice the word careth with the E-T-H on the end. Does anybody know what that E-T-H stands for? I say it every time I see a word. That E-T-H means it's a continual process. Why? Because he doesn't care for you just once in a while. He cares for you all the time. Oh, God just don't care. Oh, yes, he does. Give it to him. Cast that care upon him. Why? Because it says he's careth for you. He cares for you no matter what you think of him. He'll always care for you. No matter what you're going through, he'll care for you. Will you cast that care upon him? Will you? He's waiting for it. Why? Why would it say casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you, if he doesn't care for you? What has people put into your minds that have you thinking that God is just a careless God? No, he cares for you. If he didn't care for you, you'd be dead in hell already. Think about that. You'd be a homeless drug addict or drunk somewhere if God didn't care for you. No, you're not. You're sitting in a church. You're still alive. You're breathing. He's giving you another chance to come to repentance. He's giving you another chance to get your life right. Why? Because he cares. It's not his will that any should perish, but all come to repentance. You understand what all means? A-L-L. English, all means all. Because he cares. And it's a continual care. Will you see it? In your hard times, will you see it, please? See it all the time because he cares for you. In your tears, when you think there ain't no more, there's more. He's got it. We trust him. When you're hanging out by the end of that rope, go, I got nowhere else to go. Don't you worry. He says, trust in him. He's not going to let you fall there. You'll fall when you don't trust in him. You're right. When you're at the end of the rope and you go, I can't go any further, that's when you really need to trust. Because you know what? Nothing else is going to get, that rope's not going to get any longer until you start trusting him. Because all you're going to do is sit there and grab. Trust in him. Grab hold of it. You're sitting in that seat. You trust that bench, don't you? You don't look at your seat. You just sit. Why? Because you trust it. Won't you trust him that way? Won't you let him hold you up that way? Won't you stop grabbing for things? And just start trusting and knowing that when you need him, he's there. Why? It's just he cares for you. Or maybe you just don't care that he cares for you. I can tell you this right now, from the past few weeks out there working with people, I know for a fact there's people out there who could care less if God cares for them. They've told it to my face. They could care less if God cares for them. They think, oh, you know, that Christian, that's just your crutch. I wouldn't have chose Christianity as a crutch. Because I'm just going to tell you now, by the faith and strength of Jesus Christ, it takes a man and a woman to be a Christian. I'll just say it this way. Christianity is not for softies. That's why you see all them softies over there with all their little fake Bibles and their little easy believism churches. That's why they're over there, because they can't handle real Christianity. Let me tell you this. They can't handle what God thinks about them. How hard is it when somebody sits there and tells you about yourself? Do you like it? That's why most people turn away from the Bible, because the Bible tells them exactly what they are. If somebody sat there and said, hey, you know, you're this and you're that, you're going to go somewhere else where they can tell you, don't worry, it's okay to be that. Continually be you. It's all right. Go ahead. God doesn't frown on you for that. Well, I'm sorry if you think Christianity's weak, but I'll just tell you this right now. I can do all things through Christ Jesus who strengthens me. Why would he say that if there weren't going to be weak moments? Why would he say that we were going to need his strength? He didn't say I can do all things through myself when I strengthen myself. He said I can do all things through Christ Jesus who strengthens me. You want victory in your life? Let him strengthen you. Go and do all things for him in his name and let him strengthen you. Here's what happens, and I'm just going to tell you from experience. When God doesn't answer right away, we start getting afraid. And when we get afraid, guess what we do? Lean on our own understanding. There's where we make trouble. Then we start doubting. Well, he didn't help me then. He ain't going to help me now. Now you're doubting him. Now he's got to do more to work on you for you to try. Now listen, he's got to strive to get you to see. That's not what he's trying to do to you. How many of you sit in this room thinking, well, you know, God's just a mean God. That's all he wants to do is torture me all the time. I know people got that notion in their head. That's not what he's trying to do. Every family, every member in your family, there's a different way that God deals with each and every one of them for a reason. I know the four of us, there are certain things that are absolutely forbidden in our family and in our life that we can never do again, that we can't compromise on because it's a danger to the four of us. You got to trust in the Lord. You want to trust in him for that? Man, Lord, you know what, Lord? My bills aren't broke. I'm going to go out and get a loan. I'm going to go out and take 15 credit cards out and I'm going to pay all my bills. All right. Have fun with that. And you're going to pay your way out of it for years to come. Like I said last time, not all credit's bad. But when you trust credit over God, that's a bad thing. Horrible thing. You'll be paying for it. Trust in him. I don't have nothing to eat. Good, trust in him. I like Pastor. I got the idea from him. We're, you know, broke for a long time at one point. I mean, so low. And I remember him saying, picking up cans off the side of the road. Me and Amy drove from one end of the 86 all the way to the other 86, up one side and down the other, collecting cans. Brought a few bucks, $5 or $6 or whatever. But we were able to buy some stuff that we needed. Right? Are you willing to go that low? Money would destroy me and my wife.
That's why I know we'll never be rich. I told her, I said, hey, you may have gotten the wrong guy. We'll never be rich. I said, you know why? Because riches to destroy me and you. It'll absolutely destroy us. I'll be dead for sure or in prison. No question whatsoever. I don't know where my wife would be, but I tell you, you wouldn't want to know if I told you. Money would do that to me and my wife. This is why we don't have money, and we're okay with it. Do you ever hear people say, we're okay not having money? We're okay with it. One of the things that we learned by trusting the Lord, one of the lessons we learned was trusting in Him with our tithe. Oh man, if we tithe, that's going to take all of our money. Good, give it. Give it! Take it all! Just take it. You know what? We've never regretted it. There'll be sometimes that the next day a little bit of something will come in, but then you know what? There's times that we will do the same thing and nothing comes in. But now we're sitting out there going, how are we going to do this? And then we'll look back a week or two later and go, wow, we made it. Wow, we made it. Are you willing to trust God like that? Oh yeah, I'd look real good. Neil, I would look great with the S on my chest and yeah. Ooh, me doesn't. No. Oh no. Scared. Praying, begging God, please help us. I don't know what else to do, but you know what? That's where He needed me. That's where He needed me, on my knees praying to Him and asking Him for help. That's where He needed me so I could trust Him. So I can believe and stand up and say, all right, family, let's go. Put your chin up. We're going to go and do this thing. He had to bring me and my family to a point that I could say, all right, let's do it. Hey, listen, there's no difference with us. We'll be okay. God will take care of it. Do you believe God will take care of it? Look at all. Yeah, we believe it, Dad. Then let's go out there and live it. Let's go out there and live it then. There'll be nights my wife's crying and having a hard time and all that kind of stuff. And you know what? We're just going to believe in the Lord, honey. Come here. We'll get through it. To the point now, she's just like, you know what? It doesn't matter if we have money. I'm not even worried about money. She said, honey, I'll follow you anywhere. Let's go then. Let's just do it. Now, you all know if you've been here long enough, my wife would have never always said that. There had to be some kind of change in our life for her to be able to say that for the first time in her life. I'll follow you anywhere. My kids, you know, around Christmas time, they say, hey, guys, you know what? You may not get enough for Christmas this year. You know what my kids, you know what Luke says? Dad, don't worry. We're rich enough. We have each other. How many of your kids would say that to you? It's okay if we wake up Christmas morning and I don't have nothing to give to my children. They'll be okay with it. They won't be upset and crying and whining about it. Because you know what they'll tell you? You ask them alone. I don't have to be up here. Luke will tell you, we're rich enough. We have our family. We have God, Dad. That's what my son. Sometimes they'll see me walking around. I'm a little discouraged. Got a little weight on my shoulders. You know what Luke will come up to me and tell me? Dad, don't worry. Just trust God, Dad. Don't worry, Dad. Just trust Him. Autumn will look at me and say, Dad, let's just go pray, Dad. Come on, let's pray about it, Dad. I'm not saying that to pat me and Amy on our back. I'm saying that because Jesus Christ is the one who's shining through in the house. He's the one who's making the difference. He's the one who's showing my kids. I can't show them anything because I don't know how to do it without Him. But when they see me and Mom every morning up praying and reading and trying to live the best we can to this thing, guess what? They see it. The best gift that I could ever give my kids or help my kids get to is salvation. I could care less about anything else. Anything else in this world. Because you know what? I didn't even get to finish it, but number 7 says, wait patiently on Him. Wait patiently on Him. That's hard to do in a microwave world. That's hard to do when we want instant answers. You know what? I'm going to close with this. So many people don't believe God wants to do anything with them. You know why? Because it's not instant. Here, take a pill. Here, take this. Here, take that. That's what they want. Instant. They don't understand God has to break that fallow ground up. He's got to get rid of that stony heart and put a heart of flesh in there. They just want instant. I'm instantly cured. I've been coming to this church for 8 years, saved for almost 4 years. And I'm so far away from God now. But I can just tell you this. I'm closer to him than I've ever been. And it hasn't been instant. Now, if you can get people to hear, salvation is instant. And the moment you get saved, you'll know it. Things will start changing. But it won't be overnight. But they don't want to hear that. They want it now, now, now. He's too slow. I want it now. And you know where they go? They go to these other churches that are preaching these fake Bibles that Paul calls another gospel with another spirit and another Jesus Christ. And they get exactly what they want in those churches. Thank God we have a King James Bible. Thank God that we have people who believe in one. And God gives us the absolute freedom to preach one here. Why? Because you shall know the truth and it will what? Make you free. Don't we want to be free? Yes, sure we do. You know what? Go ahead and read Psalm 37 verses 1 through 8 and break every one of those down there and look at the victories you can have in your life. Go ahead and read Psalm 37 when you're depressed and crying or having a hard time. Read Psalm 37, starting in verse 1, and read the first 8 verses and look at every little thing. God gives you key things in there to have victory in your life. And start believing in. Start living them. Pastor, I'm done.